Good morning, Joan, and Happy New Year.
Well, likewise, and to all of our listeners, our first show in the new year, because, of course, I was away, as you know.
And that's what we want to hear about first and foremost.
I got back almost as the clock struck midnight on January 1st, 2001, and was in the Middle East, specifically Bethlehem. I just kind of got some invitations as a result of a pilgrimage taken to that area last year and thought about it and said, wow, where better to spend Christmas than in Bethlehem? And I have to tell you, it was 10 of the most awesome days of my life. If you've been to the Middle East, you know the hospitality in that part of the world. I had already had some friends from our pilgrimage, specifically a parish, Our Lady of Fatima in Beit Sahur, which is right next to Bethlehem. And Beit Sahur, of course, is where Shepherd's Field is, too, the field you go to visit to where they say the angels appeared to the shepherds to announce the birth of our Lord. But, I mean, it's like, where do you start? Christmas Eve Mass in St. Catherine's Church, which is right next to the Church of the Nativity, but much bigger and can hold the crowds. It was like 3,000 people strong, but standing for hours and hours. So midnight Mass there with the Patriarch, the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, and earlier in the day, what was a very emotional experience, actually, for me, was I was privileged to be invited to be one of the people in one of the cars to meet the patriarch as he was coming from Jerusalem at Mar Elia Monastery, Mar meaning saint, Saint Elias Monastery. And then there was this, you know, like motorcade of 100 or so cars that came into Bethlehem from Jerusalem through the wall, the separation wall, of course, built 5 or so years ago. And there's a gate in the wall. It's only about 100 feet from where my hotel was.
So you were actually staying in Bethlehem.
I was actually staying in Bethlehem, beautiful hotel called the Jasir Palace.
Is it a small town?
Yes, it was like 35,000 people. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you definitely get a small town feeling from it. And, you know, that whole part, this is Judea, and that whole part of the Holy Land, it's all these huge rolling hills. As far as the eye can see, all these little towns are built on hills, and I don't think you drive straight on a flat portion, you know, for more than a mile. And to be honest with you, it's a law in that area that all buildings, whether they're in Palestine, that is to say the West Bank, or in Israel, all buildings, the reason they all look the same is they have to be built out of the local Jerusalem limestone. Mm-hmm. And so they're all the same color. And if you kind of look around at the style and everything else, it's like, wow, you know, I saw paintings done in the 1200s or the Renaissance or whatever, picturing Bethlehem. And actually, so many of the buildings today, there are no skyscrapers or anything. And so many of the buildings look like what you had pictured or what you had seen in pictures. And but anyway, it was very, I just, you know, it's like, where do I start? Where do I stop with what I did? But one of the highlights definitely, as I said, was coming through the wall with the patriarch, because the entrance that we came through into Bethlehem is only open one day a year, and it's December 24th, the vigil of Christmas, for the patriarch. And then this entrance is closed. Everybody's gathering in Manger Square, Nativity Square, to greet the patriarch, and the mayor of Bethlehem, who's a Catholic, Victor Batarsa, he was there. And then they go into the church, and he prays for a while. I'm not sure what he did in the afternoon, but there was a big dinner at 7 for the patriarch, and also Mahmoud Abbas, who's head of the Palestinian Authority. And so the security was absolutely massive. And Abbas attended midnight Mass.
Were there any ordinary pilgrims present as well?
Oh, yeah. I was talking to people from all over the world. When I was in line, I had a ticket for the midnight Mass, and I did have a ticket for Mass in the Grotto. And there was going to be Mass at midnight and at 12:30 and 1 o'clock. And then after 1, they were waiting for the patriarch, who would have finished midnight Mass, and he carried in a procession with all the Franciscan friars and concelebrants. He carried a good-sized statue of the baby Jesus and deposited it in the Nativity Grotto. But I chose to go to the big church for Mass. Next year, I mean, should I ever go back, I would go to the Nativity.
But you were mentioning earlier that there have been a million visitors to Bethlehem this year.
Yes, they gave me this little button. I went to the Bethlehem Peace Center, and they gave me a little button. I think it was in October or something that they, for the first time ever in the history of Bethlehem, they had 1 million visitors. And actually, by Christmas time, it was 1,250,000, I believe. And from what I read the other day on the site of the Franciscan Custos of the Holy Land, apparently those numbers are keeping up. And I'm glad to hear that, because some people were very afraid, the business people were afraid with what happened in Gaza,
right,
that people might not come to the West Bank. And there's probably 120, I don't know how many miles separate the two. I would highly recommend to people, I think the 11th commandment should be in the first place, you have to go as a Christian to the Holy Land once in your life. And part of that should be one of those times, you know, you should go at Christmas. It's just too special to be in the place where our Savior's born. One of the highlights of my trip, I have to tell you, the day after Christmas, the morning after, I went very near my hotel, and probably only a mile from the Nativity Church, is Holy Family Hospital. Absolutely gorgeous, beautiful, state-of-the-art maternity hospital.
This is a maternity hospital.
Yes,
right.
It is spectacular. Mm-hmm. And I met the director, and gave him my card, and I had three presents, one for the hospital, a beautiful tapestry of a lady and child, and then I had two little gifts for babies, because I wanted to meet, if possible, the first little newborn male of Bethlehem on Christmas Day. And I did meet him and took pictures. I'll be posting those on my blog. And his name is Rami, and I took pictures of him and his mother. And then I also met, we can't forget the young lasses, so I also met the first newborn girl, and her name is Mona. So that was very moving. And then there were moments, I did go into Jerusalem a couple of times, and once was an unexpected, but I was delighted to get an invitation to the home of President Shimon Peres.
Goodness.
At the end of December, he always welcomes in a reception the Christian leaders, those who live and work in the Holy Land. And he gives a talk, and the Minister of the Interior gave a talk, and then a Greek Orthodox Patriarch, Theophilus III, spoke for all the Christians. So, but it was wonderful, because the reception part of it was you're just mingling with evangelicals and Orthodox and, you know, Catholics.
This is in Jerusalem.
And this was in Jerusalem at the home of Shimon Peres. The only shadow on the entire trip, because I could easily spend an hour just talking about people and how they live and their warmth and hospitality and what they want for their children, what the Palestinians want that I met in the West Bank is exactly what you and I want. You know, a decent life, a good income, a nice home,
of course,
the ability to go out and buy food and educate your kids and everything else. But when there were the airstrikes on Gaza, that put a damper on everything. For 2 days, all of the Christmas decoration lights went out in our hotel. When you came in the lobby, there was not only a Christmas tree, and you wouldn't find the second thing in America, there was a beautiful nativity scene in our hotel. Anyway, all the lights at night were turned off, street decorations and all, in solidarity.
In solidarity.
Yes, with their fellow Palestinians in Gaza. And then there were 3 days of strike. Stores closed, restaurants closed in the West Bank, and then any Arab-owned stores and stuff in Jerusalem closed out of solidarity.
This brings us straight to the Vatican, because
sure,
the situation in Gaza has been at the forefront of the Holy Father's thoughts throughout these festivities.
Oh, it has. It has. And if you go back to the Epiphany from Sunday, December 28th, the day after the first airstrikes, through the Epiphany, he made four different appeals.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had New Year's Day, he had the Epiphany, and two Sundays at the Angelus. And for a stop to the violence, calling on both sides to stop what they're doing and pointing out the humanitarian crisis. You start to run out of adjectives. You really, really do. And you listen to Cardinal Maradiaga, who's the head of Caritas Internationalis. You listen to his words. So, you know, just drawing our next breath is a blessing, and we should realize that and truly think about it.
Let's get back to the Vatican, Joan. We've spoken about the Pope's four appeals for peace in the Holy Land, but there have been other issues he's been tackling in these days as well.
Well, as a matter of fact, we always tape our show just before the weekend, so practically, as we are speaking, the Holy Father's meeting the diplomatic corps accredited to the Holy See. That's always a fabulous discorso to listen to. He reviews the lights and the shadows of the year just past, not only for the church, but for the world at large, obviously, generally looking at the world region by region, Africa, the Middle East, whatever it may be, pointing out the good as well as the bad, and I'm sure there will be appeals coming out of that talk as well. It's a very, very important talk. And actually, the word talk is the key point here because the Holy Father has almost like a case of laryngitis. He's got a cold. And anybody who listened to his recent – oh, yes, of course you can. So he had his audience this week, and at which he said, I hope you can hear me, and I'll try to make myself understandable because his voice was so low. And you
so
know,
let's leave it then with good wishes to
right.
Benedict.
Hey, Holy Father, I hope someone's giving you some tea with honey because we who are in the business of talking for a living, we know that that's one of the
honey.
Very good remedies for a bothersome throat.
And so is ginger.
Yes, good. Okay. See, there you go.
Thank you, Joan.